gonna do without our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on family matters. Mask, mothers and fathers align saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages of mental health issues, including addiction. And usually we would talk about in-school issues. Now we're all home doing it by Zoom. A lot of frustration, a lot of wonderful time being with family, being with each other. And yet there are times that things can happen in different situations. So I am very, very, very happy to have with us a dear colleague, but more than that, a real friend. We have on tonight a special guest. Always love having her on the show with me, and that is Dr. Shana Friedman. She's a clinical social worker, and has a PhD. She is doctor. Everyone I know knows her as Shana, but I'd like to give her the respect of Dr. Shana Friedman. Good evening. Welcome on the show. How are you holding up, Dr. Shana?
Holding up over here. Thank you so much, Ruchama, and thank you for being a good friend and an amazing colleague. And thank you for Mask. I can think back. I mean, Mask was really the pioneer in doing this work for our community, really coming from a grassroots place and saying, we have to make a difference. We have to take care of ourselves. And I'm always in awe of your work and just you. So thank you for inviting me. This is certainly a challenging and new time for all of us. So, you know, it's always good to have a conversation to figure out how can we navigate these times safely together. So thank you.
Thank you. And always remember, it's not just me. Mask is made up of a wonderful staff that's available to answer any of your questions. And our confidential can be anonymous number from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. is 718-758-0400. And you can call just to describe the situation, and we'll be able to offer you resources even now during COVID-19 that may be able to help you out from the comfort of your home, like what we're going to be discussing today. And that is that Dr. Shana Friedman has always been on the giving end and has always worked with social service agencies to help families with whatever they may need in all areas. She was she worked at Met Council for 13 years, running so many different department situations that she can share with you. So that's the last 13 years. But the last 2 years and presently, she's actually, drum roll, Sholem Task Force is so lucky to have her as their director. So, Dr. Shana Friedman, let's go to it. What is Sholem Task Force for my listeners to know?
So, Sholem, thank you. Thank you. Sholem Task Force is an organization in the community that's really here to work around domestic violence and helping foster healthy relationships. So our focus is really around intimate partner violence, which is between husband and wife, dating couples. We certainly try to help people in any type of relationship, but that's really our expertise is helping that. And, you know, I'm sure, Ruchama, you can relate to this. When I started doing this work, and I hate aging myself, but around 20 years ago, people would say, really, there's domestic violence in the Jewish community? Like, that's a job? And nowadays, people will say to me, oh, yeah, of course there's domestic violence, but it's in that other Jewish community. And you could fill in the blank about what that other would be. But we all know, and we should know, that all of these issues, the issues that masks deal with, the issues that we deal with, and many of our colleagues help with, exist everywhere, and we need to talk about them so people could really get the help they need to stay safe and to get, and to feel secure, right? We want people to be safe in their community and safe with each other. So SHALM Task Force's focus is really around domestic violence, and relationship, building relationships. So yes, thank you. So I think that's important to note that it's here.
Excuse me, I just want to ask, I want to make this, mention this, which is important, that being home, being with family, close quarters for so many, there are those that don't have technology available. They're sharing one phone, they're sharing, you know, one computer for those that only have one computer, and now they're getting laptops from their school. But it could be a lot of stress going on.
Oh, man,
in
yes.
families and even in small families.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, when we talk about this right now, I mean, the stress is, even on the healthy or healthy enough families, is real, right? It's very real. And then in families that really struggle with being high conflict and or abusive, we're even more concerned. And I think if we just take a moment, and it's a very scary thought, but thinking about being sheltering in place with someone in a place that's not safe, I still, thinking about this, you know, 6-8 weeks into this, I shudder a bit, like that thought, because as challenging as for us who are in healthy or healthy enough situations, it's even more challenging for people who are in high conflict and abusive relationships. And I think it's important just to define that. I don't know if we want to just start there for a second, but when we talk about abusive, you know, we're not only talking about physically abusive. When we talk about abusive in the work that we do and what our colleagues do, it's really about a dynamic of power and control that one person has over the other. So it's not about an anger issue, though anger issues are a problem, right? And people should reach out and help. And it's not about just not getting along, but it's really about one person using different tactics to obtain power and control over the other person. And what our fear is right now, and what we're seeing, is that in families where there was, let's say, non-physical violence, right? So when there was verbal abuse or financial abuse or the use of technology to be abusive and controlling, or other types of abuse, it's kind of jumped over into physical abuse. So all the abuse is really problematic, but, you know, our biggest fear is around, God forbid, fatality or injury. And under this stress, though it's not an excuse, and we don't excuse abusive behavior, but under this level, there's the higher risk factors. Some of the risk factors we always look at are unemployment or underemployment and financial issues. And certainly that's very real for many people right now. We're in an uncertain time. We look at mental health issues. And right now we have a lot of depression and anxiety and fear. So all those risk factors being present, families that struggle in non-physical abuse we see becoming physically abusive, and those that are physically abusive are more physically abusive. And that's what we're seeing right now in the calls that we're getting on our hotline. So those are some of the things that we're thinking about right now, is how do we help people stay safe with that in the background.
Right. So let's first define the domestic violence. Like, who are the victims, really?
Who are the victims? Everyone. Everyone could be a victim. It's in every community. I think most of us, and Rukhama, you have a lot of experience with this, most of us think about it as like women. That's our typical, you know, oh, she's a victim of abuse, it must be a woman. But we get calls from men. We get calls from people who are older in long-term marriages. We get calls from people who are newly married. We get calls from people who are engaged or dating. We often get calls that, you know, people will be in a dating relationship and they'll be like, this doesn't feel right. And one of the services we offer is we go into day schools, yeshivas, base medrash programs, base yakovs, and we do some training around what is a healthy relationship, like what to look for, what are things that are positive and what are things that could be frightening. And, you know, that might be in the 12th grade, the 9th grade, maybe your seminary year in Israel, and then years later or even the next year, people will be out on Shidduchim, and then they'll something doesn't feel right, doesn't sit well, and we want people to recognize that uh-oh feeling, and so we'll get calls from those people, those the youth as well, young people saying, oh, I've been seeing someone, and this happened, and it just doesn't feel right. And in many ways, those are very positive calls because we're able to prevent a relationship that probably would be unhealthy or unsafe. But we get calls from everybody, from every community, every one of our communities, from, you know, Yeshivish, from Modern Orthodox, Hasidic, Sephardic, everyone calls, because we know this knows no barriers. It can impact anyone. So it's everyone. And I said it before, but I want to say it again, like men call, and if I'm sure there are men listening, I think one of the hardest things for men is that we always think about this as a women's issue, and we shouldn't, because men who are victims also need our support, and we're here for them as well.
And, you know, you brought something up that's so important that we're not even realizing probably, and that is there is dating that is going on still now through Zoom. And I could imagine that you may see so much less of red flags if the couple is dating via Zoom and then get engaged. What's your opinion on that?
I mean, they're getting engaged through Zoom and they're dating only through Zoom?
No, they may have started dating before and then now they're continuing with Zoom and then they may be getting engaged right away. So you're missing that.
Yeah, you're missing. So, I mean, part of me would say maybe slow it down, but we don't know how long this is going to be, right? And, you know, I don't want to make decisions for other people's communities or other people's families, but, you know, my first instinct as a clinician is, like, let's just slow it down, see if we could wait until you can spend actual time together. There's nothing to replace time together, right? Nothing to replace real time together. The other thing is don't, you know, you can get engaged, and not that I'm a proponent of breaking engagements, but okay, so then maybe there's time during the engagement to get to know each other. But spend time together, spend time on Zoom, talk about things, be very clear about how you're dealing with the stress. Be open. It's, you know, it's really important to build that into the early relationship. And if something doesn't feel right and something's giving you, and the best way of describing it is really just this, like, red flag feeling, like this does not sit well. Reach out to Shalom Task Force, reach out to MASC, reach out to any, you know, there are therapists in our community that are sensitive to our culture and our needs, but also will help you tease out what is concerning and what isn't concerning, and help you make good decisions right now.
So before I ask you some important questions, can you just give us an idea of what your programs, what your services are that are available?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. So I keep on talking about this hotline. So we have a hotline as well, similar to MASC, and it's available 6 days a week, many days from 9 to 10 p.m., Sundays and Fridays only from 9 to noon. And it's answered by trained advocates who could help people think through things, do something that we call a safety plan, and then help people get to referrals that they need to go into. People call. It's absolutely free. It's absolutely anonymous. I'll say the number, and I'm sure we can link it on the website, 718-337-3700 or 888-883-2323. So that's one of our core services, and that's been available throughout all COVID-19. We're able to do it remotely. And it hasn't been impacted. Our hours have not been impacted. Our second service is really education. Doing things like this is part of it, right? Really being out there, but going into schools, going into shuls. And we're doing things during COVID. We're doing some programs about just marriage during quarantine. A lot of things coming up. You could check us out on social media that, really could be interesting, might help you think things through. We're also still doing programs with schools through Zoom. You know, instead of going into the classroom, we're going to their Zoom classroom to talk about healthy relationships, because we feel strongly, and the school feels strongly, that particularly the 12th graders, the seniors, usually get this program at the latter part of the year, and they're missing it right now. And how can we still provide it? And our third program, which is still very much available, is our free legal services program. Our program is called Sarah's Voice. It's staffed by professional attorneys that are sensitive both to family law issues, but also going to Bayston, and they help people explore options. They'll help people understand what does it mean if they choose to leave a relationship legally, how can they stay safe through an order of protection. And they've been working nonstop since the beginning of COVID-19 because so much has changed because of a legal situation. You know, we can't actually go into physical court anymore. And so they've become these de facto experts. And how do you file for things remotely? And how do you navigate parenting time, right? What a complicated thing always. But how do you now navigate parenting time if one party isn't taking social distancing seriously? How do you do this safely? And we're talking about you partnered with us on a webinar that's on our website now, and it was right before Pesach, and it really just addressed these issues, like what is happening and how do you manage Pesach legally, right, because of COVID-19. So those three programs are our core programs, and they're still running. Everything is running remotely, and they're available to people. We're finding that a lot of people are calling our legal intake line, I think just to see what's available, like just to kind of test the waters and just find out options. We never tell people what to do. It is absolutely everyone's own decision how they want to proceed. But you need information to proceed, right? Your neighbor might tell you something. Your sister-in-law had this experience. We all think that's how it works. The legal world, and I'm not an attorney, the legal world is so case specific. And so, you know, better than going to a friend's friend to find out a story from the community, like speak to an attorney. They'll give you a free consultation. All the services are completely free. And everyone who calls gets a consultation if they choose to. And you just learn about what are the options so you can make some decisions that make sense for you and your family. So those are our core services. And please check us out online. There's always things going on, but those are our core services, and they are running right now.
And for those that may have just called in late or listening late, we have with us Dr. Shoshana Friedman, PhD, LCSW, and we are talking about, Shalom Task Force. So how can you describe a safety plan during shelter in place, Shana? Right. I mean, everybody is gone neurotic in shelter in place in general. Right. So how do you plan a safety plan?
Yeah, I mean, it's so complicated. I've been having these conversations on a national level with colleagues, like, how do we do this? Because many of the things that we generally talk to people about when we do a safety plan or a safety discussion are just not available. You can't go to your neighbors so easily, right? You're not going to move in with your mom. Those kind of options are less available. So I want to put out there, first of all, that the police are still 911. If it comes to a point to that, and that's a choice you make, they still respond, and if you look at the statistics right now, they're getting more calls than ever because I think people realize that that's still a course of action, right? They're still going to respond. Even in our community, we've seen an increase in 911 calls. But that's not the only thing that we do, absolutely not the only thing that we do. So when we talk about a safety plan, really the conversation is, how do you stay as safe as possible? We talk about, as safe as possible physically. So we could talk about, like, which rooms are your house? It sounds very detail-oriented, but that's what it comes down to. The person who's calling, the woman or man who's calling, who's the victim survivor, is the expert. And she or he probably, if talked about it, would be able to say, okay, this certain room is the safest, or this is how I know how to calm down the situation. Not to take blame for the situation, but I can manage this escalation and try to think about how to strategically deal with it. You know, and I say this, and it's jarring when people hear it, but, like, we recommend people don't, when they anticipate an escalation or a physical incident, certainly not to be in the kitchen or bathroom. They're dangerous quarters, and just think about it. Kitchens are full of, unfortunately, weapons. We don't think about it that way. And bathrooms are very small, and if you would fall, you could be very hurt, right? So we try to do things that are less confined. Can you, if you feel an escalation happening, can you make sure it's not, can you move away from where the kids happen to be so they're not involved in this? Are the things you could think about to keep things as safe as possible, the safest as possible? We do recommend that people, if they are comfortable, find someone in their lives they could tell about what's going on. You know, don't expect them to know how perfectly to answer, but say, this is what's going on. And a lot of people right now are talking about something called code words, where the person that you're able to confide with you know, tell them, if you call them and you tell them that, oh, isn't the weather really nice out today, means I'm really in trouble, right? Really trying to think through all the details. So we talk about physical safety, and then we talk about emotional safety. And this is for all of us, but particularly for people who are struggling in this way, but for all of us to find ways to feel as grounded as possible. And for me, it might be going for a 10-minute walk, and we're still here in New York, allowed to go out for walks. For others, it may be taking a longer shower or drinking some tea. It sounds sometimes very basic, but that might be what someone needs just to remain calm, just to just feel a bit more grounded in what is very chaotic. So those are the things that we're thinking about right now with people. The name of the game and what we all talk about in the field, all of us are working, is just being very creative. Like, what can you do? Like, what, you know, what can you come up in your family? How can you be creative to make sure that you're getting what you need to stay as safe as possible? And, you know, hopefully this is going to be over soon, you know, shorter term, and then you might be able to access other options, right? But to know that, you know, there are still legal remedies, there is still a police involved, so that's helpful to you. I think what's really important is connection, and I keep on thinking about that. It's just as much as possible, and certainly people who are being victimized have a hard time with this, but as much as possible, to connect to people on a regular basis, you know, checking in with people so they know you're okay, you know someone knows you're okay.
And then do you suggest that supportive people be, you know, to support those, people, what would you suggest, knowing
so some
that
of it,
their friends or their loved one is with somebody that's being abusive or children are being abused, so how could we support our friends?
Yeah, it's so hard. So some of this is different for COVID, or not, but most of it's really just the fundamentals of support. And I'll tell you, the do's are to believe them, to not judge them, to let them make decisions at their own pace, to help people connect to the right resources. So you're listening to Rachama and you know, me this evening. So now you know about MASC, you know about Shalom Task Force, everybody listening. So if you have a friend who confides in you to say, you know, I listen to this radio program and there are people out there that could help you, and have our number for that person. You could patch that person on your phone if that's safer for that person. You know, so you are able to support them in that way. You know, one thing that I've seen as a mistake, the don'ts, you know, we talk about the do's, do be supportive, do listen non-judgmentally, do connect, do make that regular phone call, that FaceTime appointment. We were joking, our family, one of our activities, I have young children, one of our activities is writing letters to people we miss who we think are lonely, so it could be either, and we go, we walk to the mailbox almost every day, so it gets us around the block, you know. And, you know, they've never mailed, and my children have really never spent time mailing, because, like, who mails anything nowadays? But in some way, it's a way of connecting, and if someone doesn't have access to a phone, at least if you send them something, right, the mail is still coming. It sounds silly, but it really, there are points of connection are really important. The don'ts are...
Have
the don'ts,
your kids, Jonna, send me a letter. I'll
you got it. Send me your... I've sent you a few colleagues. And they love getting letters back. It's, like, really exciting, right? They have pen pals now.
You got it.
Yeah, it's really funny. And it's really... It's so interesting, right? Like, it was done. It's just... I just did that because I was like, oh, what am I going to do with my kids? And I bought, you know, 200 blank cards in the beginning of this 8 weeks ago. And we slowly go through them. And they draw pictures. But anyway, that's not for now. But... okay, so the do's are connection, not judgmental, giving them, you know, not blaming them. Don't ask them, what did you do to make that happen? Just accept their story. It is not your job or my job to investigate. We're not the police, right? We do not need to investigate. We don't need to know who started what, what's the history. We're just there to be supportive. The don'ts really are, and I guess it's just the opposite, is being judgmental. Do not tell them what to do. Give options. Tell them there are options. But, you know, the dynamic of abuse is about power and control. And if we tell a victim what to do, we are, you know, replicating that dynamic. So we do not tell them what to do, but you tell them that they're there for them. And also to respect the confidentiality. And that's something that's crucial in our community because we're so connected, which is a beautiful part of our community. But if you're in a position where someone shares something with you, do not tell anybody else, you know, unless you're a mandated reporter and you have to, or there's some other reason, you know, there's no reason to go tell the Rav, that you heard this. You don't know where the ripple effect of that would be. And that might, besides for whatever kind of spiritual idea behind not talking about people, on a practical level, you don't know what kind of danger you could cause by creating that. So if someone is brave enough to confide in you what's going on in their family, you know, provide support. You know, we want them to know that it's safe for them to have you as a resource in their lives.
Right, absolutely. You know, you brought up the part that we did a program together.
Yes.
I think it's so important that you share with my listeners about how many people have listened to this program. It was clearly about Shalom Task Force topic, and if that amount of people actually picked up the phone, went to Zoom, listened to the tape afterwards, it is so telling of how in need so many are. So would you like to share how many people?
Sure. So we did a program right before Pesach about shelter in place, which place, around legal implications of COVID-19 for family law. And that night we had close to 220, 219 people log in that night, which, you know, it's a lot. That's a lot of people calling in. Since then, I didn't check in the last 2 days, but it was something like 900 people have watched it between being on YouTube and Facebook. So certainly it is an issue to many people in our community, and we hope to come out with a few more legal webinars because we see people really need the information to make good choices, make safe choices, work together to really move through this time. So yeah, and I have to say that program, we had MASC as a community partner and a few other community partners, and it was really beautiful to me. Like how we all said, oh yeah, this is an issue. Let's make sure our community is supported in this way as well. How important is this? So that was, so it's on our website. You're welcome to, please, if it's something that's important to you, you want to learn more about this to help someone, it's there.
So you want to give out your website, please.
Yes, www.shalomtaskforce.org. And there's a COVID-19 resource page on the website. And it has a number of different lectures, webinars, and articles available to people as a resource.
Okay. So it is really wonderful always having you on with us. And I know that you're going to anticipate a lot after COVID-19 going on. I'm sure we're going to have you on again soon, I hope. Thank you for always being on. Thank you, Dr. Shana.
Thank you, Ruchama. It's really my pleasure. Thank you for the work that you do in the community.
Thank you. And anybody that wants to reach her, you can contact Shalom Task Force with any of your questions.
Absolutely.
Again, I just want to wish everybody they should be safe and healthy and refuah shleima for all the cholim.
Amen.
And I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtual hug tight. Thank you,
Thank you.
A good night.
Hi, this is Dr. Raphael Kelman. I will be doing a new show called COVID-19, Effective Natural Treatments, on TalkLine over WSNR, 620 AM, as well as on TalkLineCommunications.com. I will be discussing that there are herbs and natural compounds found in nature that have been shown to help with previous viruses, and I believe can help to both prevent and combat the COVID epidemic as well. I will tell you what you're not being told, and I will inform you on a weekly basis the rapidly emerging science, both in the new drugs that are being developed and in the natural treatment. So don't forget to join me every Tuesday night live, 7 to 8 p.m. And if you have any questions in the interim, feel free to call me at 212-717-1118, or you can reach me at kelmancenter.com.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.